that today is the day and love the Lord. Now, the third one I'd heard, but man, those I really like. Is that the first time you did those, or had you done them on Sunday? Okay, man, those were good. Those were good. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, let's go to the 53rd chapter of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53. And we're going to pick up our teaching on divine healing, and hopefully we're dealing with that issue in a way that's scriptural. And I want you to understand, when it comes to divine healing, how we've discussed in prior classes, that divine healing is simply a gracious extension of life from God, an extension of life. Because there's going to come a time, if we don't go by rapture, we're not going to be healed. Even though there are those who teach that we should always be healed physically, I'm sorry, that is just simply not going to happen. It didn't happen when Jesus walked the earth. But what we want to focus on tonight, in this lesson in particular, as we said in prior classes, anybody remember, what is the greatest healing? Salvation. Once it's settled with your eternal soul, everything else is all right. And we may face at times sickness and disease as we live in this fleshly tabernacle. But praise God, the promise of Scripture is that one day we're going to get a new body that won't wear out or grow old or get sick. Praise God. So that's coming. So put when you think of divine healing, always put it in the perspective of the eternal. If you do not look at divine healing from the eternal perspective, you're going to go astray and believe some things you ought not to believe. That's how false teachers have corrupted the beauty of divine healing, and that they have taken it out of the eternal and put it totally in the here and now, in totality in the here and now. And God has never promised that everyone would be healed in this life. He does promise, though, that total and complete healing is coming in an eternal body. Praise God. So bear that in mind whenever you think of divine healing. I was watching, I couldn't stand it for long, the TBN telethon the other night. Anybody been watching this? Anybody seen any of it? Well, good, you haven't missed a thing. That guy, Steve Muncy, was on there, Mike, and he was just making all kind of promises that if you would send TBN your $30 a month for the next year, that poverty was going to be totally broken over your life. All kind of increase was going to come. Your whole family was going to be healed of all their sicknesses. And that's just sad. That's an improper presentation of divine healing. But the greatest healing is, and that's what we're going to focus on tonight, is our salvation through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Let's read the scripture and then we'll pray. Isaiah chapter 53, beginning at verse 1. And something you need to know about the prophet Isaiah. The entire book of Isaiah is divided into two sections. Here's where the Jews missed Jesus. In chapters 1 through 40, the coming Messiah is portrayed as king. He's portrayed as the king of the Jews, as the son of David, as the one who will establish the millennial kingdom and rule and reign from Jerusalem. Chapters 1 through 40 of the book of Isaiah focus on that. But from chapter 41 on through chapter 66 of this great, great prophet's book, the focus is on Jesus' earthly ministry, where he took on the form of man, as we have discussed in previous lessons. And he abrogated his status in heaven to come to be one of us. Now think of that. I'm going to tell you, you're going to laugh at this. Before we pray, I want to bring this illustration out. And it came from, I'm not even going to tell you where it came from, but it came from a source I normally wouldn't turn to for anything. But this was a good illustration. Well, actually, it came in the early 50s from Billy Graham. This person was just repeating the illustration. He said, think of humans as little ants in comparison to God. Now, ants, you can't direct them. If you look over a pile of ants and you tell them, hey, go this direction, you know, they ain't going to listen to you, are they? They're just going to keep going their own direction no matter what. Ain't that like us? You put a big barrier in front of the ants to try and steer them in the right direction, what are they going to do? They're just going to go over it. They're just going to keep going the way they want to go. So how could you ever instruct an ant if you were God to go in the right direction? You have to become one of them to get them to understand you. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. He was the revelation. He is the revelation of Almighty God. And he revealed himself to us of his own volition by becoming one of us when he didn't have to do it. Because what little bit of understanding we do have about who Jesus was and what he did for us, we can only comprehend it for that reason. He became one of us. And that's what this 53rd chapter of Isaiah deals with. And there it is. Phil's got it up on the screen. And thankfully, I've got my big print Bible with me tonight, so I won't have to turn around and read it. Isaiah 53, beginning at verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our sorrows, or borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Praise God. What a healing verse that is. Let's read on. Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I want to stop right there in our reading tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, tonight, these next few moments, I ask that you'll let me speak with clarity, that you'll give me the anointing of the Spirit and the mind of God to teach your word in a way that it would make it come alive to your people and be a blessing to them, Lord, and make it applicable and understandable to their individual lives. Lord, I know that can't be done without the anointing and the assistance of the mighty Holy Ghost. And I humbly ask for that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As I said, this second half of the book of Isaiah portrays Jesus' earthly ministry in coming to save us. Now, I don't know about you, but any time I hear that Jesus came after me, boy, that touches me deep in my soul. He left the portals of glory to come after me and you. Because we needed healing. The scripture that we read said, all we like sheep have gone astray. And that's the portrayal of humanity. Separated from God, self-willed, wanting to go our own direction, do our own thing. And we were bound by sin. You know, I was thinking as I was preparing for this class, I always heard songs sung about being chained and Christ delivering. And I understood that very, very well from my initial salvation experience. But it wasn't until I learned the message of the cross that I understood how greatly he healed me. How greatly he did set me free. And that now, through faith in what he did on that cross, and faith alone, praise God, I can live a victorious life through that faith. I'm not bound by sin anymore. Sin does not dominate me anymore. Now, as you look at Greg Browning tonight, I've got a long way to go. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying I know this. I know I am free in Christ from the domination of my sin nature. I know that without His Holy Spirit indwelling me, that I'm capable of doing anything. And now, y'all looking at me like, oh, Pastor, well, let me tell you something. You are too. Sorry. You're in the same boat with me. And it's so wondrous and so glorious what He came to do for us when He didn't have to do it. My Lord, what love is that? I feel that tonight. He left the portals of glory for us to become one of us, to redeem us from this curse of sin, to break the power or make it possible for the power of the sin nature to be broken. I appreciate Jesus for that. And when I think of that, it just overwhelms me. And that's exactly what the prophet Isaiah was hitting on as he begins in verse 1. Whom hath believed our report? The idea that the Holy Spirit's putting across there is that our healing through salvation is so wonderful and so marvelous and so glorious and yet so simply achieved that it's hard to believe. Most of the church does not believe it. Because we need to know this about the gospel and its healing power. Not only in our salvation, but in our sanctification. The power of the gospel delivers us completely from the dominating power of sin. My! Glory to God! But it's the way that is achieved that makes it hard to believe. Now, I don't know about you. I believe as I'm looking out over this crowd tonight, I believe everybody I see tonight, when you heard the message of the cross, as far as I know, and talking with just about everybody here tonight, it was easy for you to believe. You believed it. It was that way for me. But don't think it's that way with everybody. Because man becomes so ingrained in thinking God can't be that wonderful. God can't be that forgiving. God can't be or can't have that ability to wipe away sin so easily based upon me just believing something. For some people, that's very, very hard to believe. And that's exactly what the great prophet Isaiah is addressing here. Whom hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? My Lord, we got a healing the day we came to the cross that is so overwhelming, so beautiful, that it will last through all of eternity. My Lord, no wonder. I've got to jump ahead here because I feel the Holy Ghost falling like rain. I don't know if He's out there, but He's up here on me right now. No wonder the prophet Isaiah said, with His stripes, we were healed. Glory to His name. We were healed. We were healed. Glory to God. Not futuristic. Now. Now we're healed. In every capacity. Eternally. Glory to God. Through faith in what He did for us on the cross. Yes, Phil.
Unfortunately, that's what they use the same thing for to the word of faith people mostly that says that's why healing is guaranteed because of that, because they read that we are healed. See, you're supposed to be healed. You know, it says we are healed.
That's a good point, Phil. And you know what? They're right to a degree. We were healed. But there's reverting back to what we said at the start of the class. If you don't put that healing in the eternal perspective, you're going to go down all kind of wrong paths. He was speaking of eternity here. That you must look and understand your word through that eternal telescope, for lack of a better illustration. If you don't look at the word of God eternally and you try to, and don't get me wrong, I believe with all of my heart. I know Paul has testified. She has a beautiful testimony of how God healed her. God healed me of rheumatic fever. And I know others of you he's healed. So absolutely, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, predicated upon God's will, divine healing in the flesh does occur, and we should pray for it to happen. But when, as Phil brought out, people try to use it to say, well, if you don't get healed, then you don't have enough faith. How absurd. It was King Copeland. I heard him say it myself. Talking about Johnny Erickson Tata. She was that lady that was it a ski accident? Diving, okay. And she's paralyzed from neck down. She's an artist. I mean, she writes. She's done more with her life than I'll ever do with mine. But the Lord could speak instantly and send his word in her body and cause that spine to straighten out and her stand up and be as normal as I'm standing before you tonight. But he's chosen to leave her in that wheelchair. Yes. And Ken Copeland said about her, she ought to be ashamed she's still in that wheelchair. Now think of that. Think of that. That's a totally distorted view. That's exactly what Phil brought out. And that's what you lead, that's what you get when you take the promises of God and begin to look at them solely in a here and now situation. Because I know people don't like to hear this. Because we want a God. That's what makes the false faith teaching so appealing. Because we want a microwave God. We want a God that carries, you know, we want to be able to carry the so-called spiritual magic wand and every time, poof, just touch people and have things go away and have everything be made right. And it is simply not going to happen that way. Sometimes God's going to heal people by taking them on home to glory. That's the ultimate healing if their faith is in Christ. Paula, you had something?
To be a servant of the Lord, speak condemnation to somebody like that. I mean, because that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
And the Bible says there's no, therefore, no condemnation
to those who are in Christ Jesus.
So how could you speak condemnation to somebody like that?
I got an answer for you. He's full of the devil. He's full of the devil. I believe the man's demon possessed. I'll go that far. You heard it here. I believe Ken Copeland is demon-possessed, him and his wife. Because they've created a Jesus that is not in Scripture. They've created doctrines that are not in Scripture. And they have distorted faith in toto. So that's how he can do it, Paul. Because it's not of God. Because you nailed it. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. To those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And for him, that's why I can't believe a church or supposed Christians would sit and take that from somebody and continue to support them financially with millions of dollars. It shows you the deplorable spiritual state this last day's church is in, is that it can't even discern what's of Satan and what's of God. Most of them can't. And that's how he can get away with it. And think of that. And man, I'd rather listen to her any day of the week. I've heard her preach before. That girl can preach. She is. She can preach, man. And she preaches the cross. If you listen to her, she may not say it exactly like we'd say it in this church. But her faith is anchored exclusively in Jesus Christ and what he did for her on that cross. And she's got more faith than somebody like Ken Copeland will have a million years from tonight. Unless the Lord gets a hold of him and saves him and delivers him. Yes, Deb. Well, that was hard preaching. I don't know if you was ready for that kind of answer or not, Paula.
God has our days planned out for us. So he knew that diving accident didn't take him by surprise.
That's right, Deb.
And she's done more through that accident.
Absolutely.
And God has used her through that accident to help millions of people.
So good.
More than he could have ever done had that not happened.
He's gotten glory out of tragedy. That's what God's a master at doing. He's glorified his name in that girl's life by allowing her to stay in that wheelchair. But you know what? The scripture we just quoted out of Isaiah is going to come true for her one day. By his stripes, she was healed. There's coming a day she's going to walk and shout and dance around the throne room of glory. And we'll be with her. Praise God. Won't that be great in heaven? To say she may not even, I'm sure she don't know one of us in here. But we'll be able to walk up to her if we'll even think about what went on down here. I don't know if we will or not. I really don't think we will. But if we would, we'll, maybe just the good things. We'd be able to say, Johnny, man, we used you on Wednesday night and your faith was a blessing to us all down there. Praise God. Yes, Phil.
I was going to say, Kenneth Copeland had to say that because that goes against everything they teach.
Oh, yeah.
About, you know, their little gods and all.
Yeah. And that, you know, and the double-mindedness of their doctrine on healing. They always say that if you don't get healed, it's because you didn't have enough faith. That's their big, well, if you're such a great person of faith, shouldn't your faith override my lack of faith? Now think of that. You know, if you're God's man so full of faith and power and you're so close to God that everybody you pray for gets healed and if they don't have enough faith, well, I think a great faith like that would overcome an individual's lack of faith. But that's what we need to see from what the prophet Isaiah is telling us tonight about our healing and in the realm of divine healing. And it's a gift. It's a gift. And we brought this out in prior classes. It's nothing to base a ministry on. We're all in a healing ministry, if you want to put it in its proper context. I mean, when the gospel is preached, people are going to get healed. They're going to get healed of sin. Praise God. The greatest healing, and I believe with all of my heart, other miracles will follow. But I was thinking about this as I was preparing for the class too. God can heal instantaneously, but God also heals providentially. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, he gives a doctor knowledge to know how to fix these human bodies. He can heal that way too. Now we everybody likes to think that, you know, well, hey, you know, if it don't happen instantaneously, you know, and God chooses not to do it that way, then something's wrong. And that's not true. That is simply not true. But I'll tell you, divine healing is so easy to hype crowds up with. If it's improperly taught. If it's properly taught, it's very exciting to the believer, even as we're teaching it tonight. And I believe the Lord's helping us to teach it right. But you see, it gets money. If you can create an illusion, like Benny Hinn has done. And there's, I don't think he's ever produced, that I've seen or heard, at least on the people that walk across his stage, any evidence that any one of them has ever been healed. Like where they had what they said they had, and now it's gone. I'll say this, and Phil, I believe you asked this question a few weeks ago. I believe there have been people legitimately healed at his crusades, but not because of Benny Hinn. It's faith in Christ. It's praise God. He'll always honor faith. In any form, if it's right, proper faith placed in him, that's why the day the little woman with the issue of blood, who was it? No, that was the woman who was bowed 18 years. How long had she had that issue of blood? I forgot. It slipped my mind. I know the woman was bowed was 18, but I'm sorry. If anybody thinks of it, jump out. How long? Was it 18 with her too? Okay, well, in any event, that day in the crowd with people all around Jesus and all kind of hands on him, touching him, she reached out in faith to touch him. And he stopped and he said, "Who touched me?" And that big crowd with people thronging him that day, hands were no doubt all over him as people wanted to touch him, but they were wanting to touch him because of his popularity. They were wanting to touch him because he was the rock star of the day. They weren't touching him in faith. But that little woman with the issue of blood, she reached out to touch the hem of his garment in faith because she said, "If I can touch him, he'll make me whole." And that stopped Jesus. Faith, and if it's proper, will always arrest the Son of God and it'll get his attention. And he said, "Who touched me? For I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." Praise God. And that little woman was instantly healed of that issue of blood. She had had her whole life. She had spent everything she had on doctors. And Jesus healed her. She touched him in faith. Here's a hard truth. God doesn't always do it the way we want it done. The way we humans would like to see things done. God doesn't always do it that way. That's what Johnny Erickson Tada's life teaches us. Look how God used her. And one day that healing is going to come. And I have seen people, and I'm sure you have too, that by faith in the name and person of Jesus Christ, they've been instantly healed. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. I'll be honest with you. I've never seen it happen as frequently as I would like to see it happen. But I've got to leave that up to God. But that has not decreased my faith one iota in his power to instantly heal a human body. And we should pray for that continually when we need to or when our loved ones are sick. And I mean, it's been a lot of times. I'm not trying to say he doesn't do it. But there are times that I've prayed for dear saints of God that were pillars in the church that I'm like, "Oh, Lord, I wish you could leave them here a little bit longer." But he chose to heal them by taking them on to glory. And they were ready to go. I'll never forget. Man, where has time gone tonight? Y'all have been such a good class. Just a second, Phil, and I'll get to you. It was Bob King. How many of you remember Bob King? One of the greatest men of God, I honestly believe, I've ever had the privilege of meeting. Bob was full of Jesus. My. And I was in his house. And they had him in a bed about 2 days before the Lord took him home. And Bob had been such an encouragement to me and my ministry and my life in some very, very, very dark days. And I remember that day we were, and Norma, his wife, was standing there. And I said, "Bob," I said, "I want to pray for you." And it was one of the greatest acts of faith I've ever seen. I can't remember if I've shared this with you or not. He reached out and he grabbed my hand. He said, "Pastor, it's going to be all right." He said, "Let me pray for you." My Lord. My Lord. I'll never forget it. Norma, who I remember all the time I was around her, was normally a very docile, quiet woman, broke out in some of the most beautiful heavenly language I've ever heard. It was just like a river flowing out of her. And I began to weep, and I said, "Bob, I said, you pray for me. I said, I see your faith is settled, and you know you're going to be all right." And man, he prayed one of the greatest prayers for me. And it was simple, but it's so anointed. He said, "Oh, Lord, I want you to bless and keep this pastor who's doing his best to preach the truth of your word." He said, "The enemy's fighting him and has fought him." He said, "But encourage him. Encourage him." And he closed that prayer with this statement. He said, "And let him know it's worth it all." Wow. Wow. What a prayer. What a prayer. And I walked out of there. I felt kind of guilty. I'd gone there to pray for Bob and try to minister to him. And I walked out of there and the Holy Ghost had used him to do more for me. And 2 days later, the Lord took him on home to glory. But he was just that kind of person, like Ned was. He'd say, "Lord, couldn't you leave him here just a little longer with us?" But God in his wisdom decided to heal him by taking him home. And I have no doubt, and I prayed for Bob to be healed before I left that day. And I had no doubt in my mind that had God chosen to, he could have raised him up out of that bed and extended his life for 5, 10, 15 more years. But divine healing. Let's close on this thought tonight. Boy, I don't know about you all, but I felt such a beautiful anointing tonight of God's Spirit. divine healing, whenever you're studying it or you're looking at it, always know it's predicated upon two things. The sovereignty of God. God gets to choose when he's going to heal and who he's going to heal and how he's going to heal. We're not God. We're not God. He's not called us to act that way on his behalf. It's up to his sovereignty. And number two, the promise of total and complete healing is eternal in nature. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And by faith, that's why the Bible puts so much emphasis on faith. Bob and Ned had more faith in Jesus Christ than they just had a great faith, both of those dear men of God. And yet, even though they had such a great faith in Jesus, the Lord chose to take them on home when he could have healed. Faith is eternal. It never dies. We're better people, and I know you could name people like that too. There are others I could name. Sister Mary, my Lord, what a woman of faith. I'm grateful to God that God put people with a sound faith in my life. He could have sent me so other places. I'm thankful that for whatever reason, he put me around people like Brother Swaggart and Lauren Larson, who love the Lord and who aren't out for anything but the truth of God's Word and to preach a sound, pure gospel. And he put people in my life like all of you guys here. I was thanking the Lord for that as I was on the beach. I thought about all you all. And we've had some, as I begin to close, you all probably know about it, that I love at this moment in time. My heart's broken because they've chosen to leave our body. But my Lord, I still love them. I still love them. They're on my mind. They're on my heart. You guys were on. And I was just sitting there, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do with our church. Or, you know, y'all, I'm human, you know. And when people who have so supported you so strongly and that you've sowed a lot, I don't want to say it that way, not of your life, but you've ministered to them quite a bit. For whatever reason, they choose to remove themselves from your pastoral care. It rips my heart out. And I'm just going to shut up there. I don't want to cast no kind of bad dispersion. I just begin to pray for each and every one of you all that God's perfect will be done in your life. You know, that's all I want. And I understand that God can call people out of here and put them in other ministries. But I guess what I'm saying is I just like to, and I pray I'm not being selfish, and I'm fully willing to explore. I could be in my own flesh. I just wish I had more of a witness of the Spirit about what they were telling me God was telling them to do. Does that make sense? That's all I want for you all. I can take it. I'd miss you, you know, if God calls you out of here tomorrow. I'll love you. I'll miss you. But if I have that witness in my heart that you've heard from God and you're doing the right thing, I can live with that. But when I feel it's something else, and maybe I'll just shut up. I'll just shut up. But I love you guys, and I am perfect. You know that by now, I'm sure. Missed a great chance to say amen there. But I love you. And my desire for you is that Christ be enlarged in you. And he's calling this church to revival. And the Lord grabbed a hold of me on that beach down there as I was sitting there praying. And he said, in this last day, what if? And here's how he put it to me. He said, what if I just give you 12 people to pastor? And that's it. He said, in this last day, he said, I'm still going to have big ministries that are going to preach my word. But he said, are you willing to let your flesh be crucified and pastor 12 people? And that's all I've got for you. And man, I thought, wow. We all like to think of ourselves as being humble. And the Lord showed me how prideful I was. And I began to weep right there. Thank goodness there's nobody else around me. It was late in the evening, and I was afraid Deb or somebody was going to come walking down the beach because she was down there too. I thought, this would look great. She's sitting there seeing her pastor bawl like a baby all alone in the dark on the beach. You're going to think he's crazy. But I had to see it and say, okay, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. If the 12's all you got for me, I'll go that way. And he just had to remind me again. Your job, Greg, and what I've called you to do is to preach the truth of my word to my people, however many I send you. But that doesn't mitigate the hurt of people you love leaving. You know? That's I'll just leave that there. Any other questions or comments? You've been a great class tonight. Man, we're going to continue on probably a couple more weeks on this divine healing. Are you getting anything out of this? Is it helping you some? Understand putting divine healing in its proper perspective. Next week we're probably, I need to get back in Isaiah 53 here before we leave it. And then probably the week after that we're going to go in to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, chapters 12 and 13 concerning the gift of healing and how it should literally operate, okay? Would you stand? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Yes. Shelby Oren? Okay. Let's pray for Shelby tonight. Okay. Heavenly Father, tonight we come to you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for the precious anointing of the Holy Spirit that I felt in the sanctuary tonight. Lord, there's nothing like your presence. Heavenly Father, we have taught tonight and believe that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, as the book of Hebrews tells us. And with faith in the shed blood of Christ exclusively, we ask for healing virtue to go out of the risen Christ once again into Shelby Oren's body. And that, Lord, every issue she's having with her intestines would be instantly healed by the power of God. And Lord, we don't ask so somebody could say, well, it was because Crossway Community Church prayed. Lord, we just want to see Shelby healed. And we know you can do it. And in the name of Jesus, we believe you for it right now, that she would be made whole in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, I feel we're touching heaven tonight. Lord, for anyone else tonight who would need your divine touch in the physical realm or in the emotional realm, I ask you to send the healing virtue into them. And Lord, just touch everybody who is in any way affiliated with our church with your healing virtue. And we'll not fail to always, Jesus, give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen and amen. Praise God. It's been great to be home, be back in God's house this Wednesday night. Look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning, and we'll have a great time in the Lord then. God bless you. You're dismissed.